Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Let's pray, and then we'll explain through the scripture, we'll explain some of this for you this morning. Father, once again, come to your throne, and I pray that you just give me the words to say. Lord, help this to be clear as we just look at your word, Lord, look at some history and see how Daniel was exactly right and what was to come. And Lord, help us just to take some lessons from this, and as we look at maybe a couple different men's lives and maybe draw some applications to our personal lives. Thank you for all that you do. Help our preachers. He's away. Pray that you just bless him and help him in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an interesting dream that Daniel interprets for Nebuchadnezzar. The last week we talked about doing things our own way, or how Nebuchadnezzar tried to circumvent things, and how that's not really the correct way. If you want to, we talked, what we called it was changing the mind of an unchangeable God. And God gives us the power as Christians to change his mind. And that's an amazing thing if you really think about it. That God up in heaven gives us as little beings the power, the opportunity to change the course of history, if you would. And God gives that to us. And it's a power that we should not abuse, but we should use it. One man said this, most failures are prayer failures. And I think that could be very true. You know, a lot of things that we fail, I feel sometimes when I fail with dealing in my dealings with other people, it's because I haven't prayed for that person properly, or I haven't prayed for the situation properly. But Daniel here, like I said, this is just going to be a very practical, very almost history lesson, if you would, this morning. But Daniel here interprets this image. And if you would, this image, we don't know for sure what this image was. Probably some kind of the image of a man. May have been an image of Nebuchadnezzar himself. We aren't told that. But this image, it has a head of gold. Okay, and we find that in verse 32. This image's head was of fine gold. All right, and look at verse number 37. Thou, O king, Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. It's interesting. Here's a thought I'm thankful we live in the United States of America. I'm thankful for the government, the system of government that God has allowed us to have here. But if you want to be perfectly honest, that, you know, God didn't set up our governments when he first set up a government. God set up a theocracy, which is a king rule, okay? That means one man rules the nation, okay? And if you go to the book of, if you'll look at the life of Nebuchadnezzar, you look at this image. Yes, this image went from gold to silver to brass to iron mixed with clay. But if you'll notice, it actually, it gets less in value, if you would, as it gets lower. Now, iron is probably, of all the metals, iron is the strongest of any of the metals, okay? But it's by far not the most valuable. Any of you that have done any scrapping would know that, you know, if you take gold bullion to the scrapyard, you would do pretty well, okay? Or silver, or even brass. Iron is the worst. And then if you take them dirty metal, which iron mixed with clay, if you take them dirty metal, they're even going to give you less, okay? So the value of it went down. Also, technically, if you think about it, the strength of the government is decreasing here. Now, I know iron is strong, but you get down into the iron and the clay, and the strength of it is decreasing. This time, going from the gold all the way down to the iron mixed with clay, it's referenced in the Bible called the times of the Gentiles. Times of the Gentiles. Up to this point, God has ruled, and the nation of Israel has been a predominant nation. And the Bible has been, if you would, the dealings of God with his people, the Jews. Okay, think about that. When Nebuchadnezzar comes in is when the Jews are taken into captivity. Okay, so the Jews are now in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. And he is this head of gold. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, if he didn't like you, he'd just say, oh, he dies. I'm going to kill him. He was a pretty powerful, okay? That doesn't happen in our society. Now, you think, well, that's good. That's a good thing. Right. But that shows, honestly, in a way, the weakness of our government. Okay, I want you to follow with me. Believe me, I'm thankful for our government. I'm thankful for the checks and the balances. I'm thankful for the ability to vote. Okay, I'm thankful for that ability. But there is a weakness that comes with that. There is a weakness that comes with that. Because you know what? People are very fickle. And you know, honestly, I know everyone's vote counts. I'm not saying that because I think you should go vote. But in the reality of it, your vote really doesn't matter a whole lot. Does that make sense? Okay. You know, rural America covers the vast part of the United States of America, but our voice is the weakest voice because, you know, you go to the cities, they have the stronger voice because the people. Well, do you want the people in the cities ruling our nation? As a general rule, no. As a general rule, you do not. Okay. You know, it's a thing of whoever has the most people backing them, that is who rules the nation. Where you don't have a king that comes in and says, this is the way it's going to be done. You know, our president, I'm thankful for the president. You know, I'm thankful for our president versus what we could have had as a president. Okay? I'm thankful for that. But you know, he can't just go and do whatever he wants. He can't. The president before him couldn't just go do whatever he wanted. Now, he tried to push things through, but he couldn't just go do whatever. He couldn't just make a law, okay? Because there is a system in our government. And our founding fathers were very wise in instituting that. But I want you to see here that this government, it's getting weaker as it goes, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar is that first image. His kingdom, it was from 605 BC, okay, before Christ, to 538 BC. That is the kingdom of Babylon. Okay? So those years, all the way up through his grandson. So Nebuchadnezzar, his son, and his grandson was the kingdom of Babylon. And basically, you know, the Bible says they ruled the whole earth. You know, it's basically talking about what is known, what they knew about. Not saying that there weren't other people, but pretty much everything came under the power of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so that was from 605 BC to 538 BC. Now, if you go later on in the book of Daniel, we're going to look at the silver. Okay, so we go from the head to the breast, and the arms were of silver. Now, there again, we're decreasing in value. We're also decreasing in what we would call as the power. Now, this was split between two different sections. It was the Medes and the Persians. Okay, remember when Belshazzar was having his feast, and he was having a big feast, and while he was having the feast, the enemy came in, the Medes and the Persians, they came in and conquered Babylon that night. Okay, and most of you are very familiar with that. Cyrus, there's a couple different names for them, but Cyrus comes in. Here's another interesting thing. If you look at the four kingdoms that we're going to talk about this morning, you look at Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of this kingdom. Okay, so we go from God being over all the Jews, and we're looking at God's dealings with the Jews, to Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know that Nebuchadnezzar recognized God as truly being God? He did. I believe Nebuchadnezzar's saved. I believe he's in heaven. Okay, I firmly believe that. I think the Bible clearly shows that Nebuchadnezzar, God humbled him to the place where he realized that there was the God of heaven, the God of gods, okay? And he came to that place. So there is that gold, once again. Cyrus, the next man, he is the one that allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. So Cyrus, I don't know if he was saved, but he at least recognized God, okay? The third one, Alexander the Great, we're going to talk about him in just a moment. Alexander the Great, he believed that he was a god. Okay? The Grecians promoted the emperor as god. Okay? So we see that. And then obviously the Romans, which was the iron, again, we'll get into that later. They started proclaiming that their emperor was god. Remember what Herod did? Remember the story about Herod? And the people said, it's the voice of a god. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm like a god. And the worms came out and ate him alive. The Romans really thought that their emperor, whoever was supreme at that point, that he was a god. So you also go from the gold, and it decreases as you go. Americans, for the most part, they don't believe in God. You say, well, everybody I talk to says they believe in God. You believe something to the extent that you live something. You believe something to the extent that you live something. Most Americans don't live like there's a God. So in essence, they don't believe that there's a God. Okay? They live their life however they want to. Anyway, let's get back to, I wanted to point that out also. But the Medes and the Persians, they ruled from 538 BC to 331 BC. So 538 BC to 331 BC. So they ruled for an extensive amount of time. Okay? So we started with Nebuchadnezzar. He was defeated by the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians came in. That was that torso of silver. All right? So the Medes and Persians come in. And if you think about it, he had how many arms? Obviously, two arms. Okay? The two separate sides, the Medes and the Persians. Okay? The third group, and I want to talk about this man just briefly, was Greece. Greece. Alexander the Great, I just referenced him. Alexander the Great, he started basically ruling, from everything I can gather, he started when he was about 18 years old ruling. And he conquered, he was actually a brilliant military mind. And he conquered most of the known most of the known world at that point. And he conquered that. From what I understand, when Alexander the Great was doing all this, he was not a well-liked person. Okay? Now, everybody calls him Alexander the Great now. Okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean that, while he was alive, he was called Alexander the Great. The Grecians, his own people really did not care for him. But he was brilliant in his military mind. He approached battle in a very unique way. I've read some of his battle things, and it was different. It was different than everything that had been done prior to this. And Alexander the Great conquered so much of this. And we call him Alexander the Great. And I got thinking about that. And Greece is the belly and the thighs of brass, okay? And it goes from 331 BC to 146 BC, okay? So 146 years before Christ is born is when Greece was still in control, okay? The Grecian Empire was still in control. Do you know that Alexander the Great, he started when he was 18 years old. And in basically 14 years, he conquered the whole known world in 14 years. Pretty impressive. Very impressive. But you know he died before his 33rd birthday? Think about that. I'm going to talk this morning, one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning is appointments during the morning, with the morning service. And you know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And no matter how great Alexander the Great was, he dies like everybody else. And what did he do for eternity? Yeah, he changed the way people thought about different things. He changed the way that, the Grecian culture, okay? He changed the way that. But what did he really do? You know, there's a man in the Bible that is interesting, and I'm going to do a study on it sometime, but you know Jesus said of John the Baptist that there was none greater born of woman than John the Baptist? So compare the two. You got Alexander the Great, what the world calls the Great. And then you got a man over here that Jesus says is great. For me, I would rather have God say that's a great young man than for the world to say that's a great young man. And you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice on what you're going to do. I have to make a choice. Alexander the Great chose to spend his life changing the world to his viewpoint. John the Baptist spent his life changing the world for God's viewpoint. And everybody's got to make a decision. There's some funny stories about Alexander the Great, but we won't go into them. But everybody must make their own decision. You have to make your own decision. I have to make my own decision. So we've got the head of gold, Babylon 605 BC to 538 BC. And it's interesting how all this is, you know, Daniel basically tells Nebuchadnezzar this is all going to happen, okay? And then you've got the torso of silver, which is the Medes and the Persians. And then you've got the thighs and the belly of brass, which is Greece, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, some people say he died of like malaria. Some people say he died of typhoid fever. Several people have said he was poisoned. What a way to end your life. 32 years old, and he dies. And I wonder if he got too great in his own eyes, and God said, "That's it, I'm done." Something to think about. And then Rome comes. Rome comes in 146 BC. And Rome ruled with a fist of iron. Rome was no nonsense. If there was an uprising, they would send their troops and they would put it down. Okay, and that's the way Rome was. If you go, you know, you think about the time that Jesus was on this earth. That was the time that Rome ruled. And if you think about verse number 35. I'm sorry, not verse 35, verse 34. Bible says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands." Obviously, this is talking about Jesus Christ, "which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces." Now, some people have thought, well, this is talking about when Jesus came the first time. And it's not. This is not talking about, did Jesus, when he came the first time, did he conquer the Roman Empire? No. The Roman Empire existed for like almost 500 years after the death of Jesus Christ. Okay, was the Roman Empire. So Jesus did not conquer the Rome. That is to come. Okay, that is to come. We are living, if you would, we are living in the time of iron and clay. That is the time that we are living in, is the time of iron and clay. You know, the clay represents humanity, okay, if you would, the fickleness of humanity, and you've got that mixed with iron. So you've got some leadership, but it's mixed with iron. Isn't that interesting? That's basically what we have. We've got some leadership, but it's mixed in with the iron, okay? And that's where we live. It's the age of the Gentiles. And Jesus, when Jesus comes back, he's going to crush the age of the Gentiles, okay? The times of the Gentiles will be done. It will be finished. Because when Jesus comes back, what does he set up on the earth? His kingdom, which will be a Gentile kingdom? No, it will be a Jewish kingdom, okay? And that's when Jesus comes back again. So, the two legs, interesting. It's just interesting to me how many different things are parallel with this. But the two legs of iron, do you know that the Roman Empire was split into the Eastern and the Western? Okay, it got too big, and they couldn't, one of the main reasons, they could not communicate. There was no way for them to communicate from one side to the other side, so they split it into the Eastern and the Western empires, okay? Which is actually one of the things that caused the Roman Empire to fall, okay? What, you know, that you've got two, anything, Pastor Ross says anything with two heads is a monster. And that's best, they created their own monster, okay? They put two heads, and so they, that was one of the things that caused the Roman Empire to fall. I read one thing, I think it was Ironside. He said something interesting. He said that when Constantine came in, okay, Constantine recognized Christianity as a welcome religion, if you would. And they said that that was one of the things that actually caused the Roman Empire also to fall, was Christianity coming in. You know, up to this point, everybody considered the emperor to be God. And now they're coming in saying, well, he's not God. There is a real God, and you can serve that real God. And so it helped weaken that. So we have, first of all, we've got the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar. We've got the breasts and the arms of silver, which is Medes and Persians. The belly and the thighs of brass, which is Greece. And then Rome comes in, the legs of iron. And they ruled from 146 BC to AD, which is after Christ, AD 476. So their kingdom ruled up to that time. Now, it's very interesting. I think it's neat how the Bible, you know, the Bible doesn't support history. History supports the Bible, okay? You can go to the Bible and you can look at all the, and like I said, this is almost strictly an informational thing this morning, but it's important that you know this, okay? I'm not, there's the 10, everybody talks about the 10 toes, okay? What do the 10 toes mean? I have no clue. I'm not a prophecy person. I don't know. They may mean nothing at all, okay? Some people say the 10 toes are 10 different kingdoms that will be set up. Okay, we can go over to Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. Remember, you've got the beast that have the horns that come up, okay? And there's correlations there. Some people have thought that those 10 kingdoms have already been here. But the only problem is none of those 10 kingdoms, yeah, there have been multiples of, you could arrange different multiples of 10, but none of them have been set up at the same time, okay? And the Bible says that, you know, maybe there's nothing to do with it, okay? But we do know that there will be a unification when the Antichrist comes. There will be a unification of nations that decide that they want peace more than anything else. And when you're willing to have peace, about it kills me. Everybody wants peace, peace, peace. And you cannot have peace, okay? This world is not a peaceful place. You know, the strongest king that there was Nebuchadnezzar. And he had a lot of peace. And you know why he had peace? Because there was a certain aspect of Nebuchadnezzar that was a very violent person. You do this or you die. That's how you get peace. I'm sorry, but it is. It's not by everybody coming together and singing Kumbaya, okay? Because you're going to sing it different than I sing it, and I'm going to get mad at you because you're singing it different, okay? you're not going to have peace. This world will not have peace. And you know what? Honestly, this world will not have peace until Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign. But you know how he reigns, how the Bible says he reigns? With a rod of iron. There is no nonsense. There will be no nonsense with Jesus. Okay? I don't know how he will reign. It'll be interesting. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm not, you know, on his bad side at that point. Because listen, honestly, in a way, the way that Nebuchadnezzar ruled is the way that Jesus Christ will rule. It was with a rod of iron. It was, you're going to do this or you're going to be dead. Okay? Now, you say, Brother Chad, that doesn't sound like the lamb, you know, the lamb. No, it's the Lion of Judah. Okay? Jesus came the first time, and you've all heard this, Jesus came the first time as the lamb, as a sacrificial lamb to pay our sin debt. When he comes back the second time, he's coming back as a lion. There's a vast difference between a lamb and a lion. Okay? So I just want to run that down through there. And like I said, this is just a, basically just a crash course on the prophecy of this vision. Okay? And we see Nebuchadnezzar recognizes God. Later on, we see that Nebuchadnezzar then goes and thinks that he's better and promotes himself, and God has to humble him again. And so we see that in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse number 46, and we'll down to the end of the chapter, and then we'll be done. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Isn't it interesting? You know, you have to be careful about not worshiping a man instead of God. Okay? Now, I know Daniel did something great for Nebuchadnezzar here, but it was not worthy of worship and sacrifices to Daniel. Okay? The king answered unto Daniel, verse 47, and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. If you'll notice in verse 47, he says something interesting. And if you want to do an interesting study, jump ahead a few chapters. But and look at the difference in what the king says here. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God. So there is no personal pronoun here. Personal possessive pronoun is not here. Okay? He is talking about your God. Of a truth, your God is a God of gods, little g. Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that, yeah, there is something special about this, but he's not mine yet. Okay? This doesn't become Nebuchadnezzar's God till later. All right? I want you to just notice that. Look ahead a few chapters and you'll be able to look that out. And a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. So just a few thoughts. I hope maybe you think about that Alexander the Great versus John the Baptist. Okay? Live your life for a good purpose. Live your life for something that's going to make a difference. You can conquer the whole world, or have all the money in the world, but if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. And keep that in mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for just your word, how it never comes back void. Lord, how that we can look to your word and we can see how history just reinforces what is written in your word. And Lord, thank you for this short lesson. And Lord, I pray that you would just help the morning service. I pray that you'd be honored in everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.